Welcome to The After Party, the weekly follow-up to sermons from Harbor of Hope Christian Church in Chelmsford, Massachusetts. We sit down every Sunday with the pastor who spoke and dive deeper into the topic from each week. Without further ado, join the party. Welcome back to another week of The After Party. We are here miraculously one more time with me, Jeff, and Amy Chaney.
Hey!
Who we thought she was not going to be here this week, but through a set of circumstances involving illness and schedule changes, yeah. Amy got to preach one more time, and we are so thrilled to have her back. Amy, you kicked off the Esther series that we started this week.
Yep.
And you talked on Esther 1 and 2.
Yep.
And we're going through it as a full book over the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Yep. 4 weeks.
So can you tell us what happened today? Because there was more than just your sermon as well. So
yeah,
if you can give us a rundown.
Today was Global Partnership Sunday. We commissioned our team that's headed off to El Mirador in the Dominican Republic. They leave next weekend.
Mm-hmm. On
Sunday next week. So we had them come up and we prayed over them. And we had Brian Devereaux, who's an elder here. And then he's also on the global team. Mm-hmm. He delivered the third of the message today, actually, and did a phenomenal job. He's the best.
And we tried to get his voice this week, but he's unfortunately busy.
He's so important.
Yes.
He's got lots to do this week. So, so today we talked about chapter 1 and 2, which is not like the good part of the story. It's actually pretty dark, having to craft a hopeful message out of these chapters overwhelmed me at first, until I realized, wait a second, this is life. This is like the part of the story so much of us are living in. So basically we meet Esther following the chapter 1 is all about King Xerxes is the king of the Persian Empire at the time, and he has a 187 day long party.
Which sounds rockin'.
Which sounds disgusting.
It wasn't a good party.
Well, no, because what party that lasts 187 days could ever be good is my
question. Probably right. You get
tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But the purpose of the party was really just to display his wealth and his power. And there was free-flowing wine and all kinds of other things. And it was for the men. So by the end of this, there's a whole bunch of drunk men. And he invites his queen to attend the party so that the men could gaze upon her beauty. So there's a bunch of drunk men who wanting to look at this queen. Mm-hmm. She refuses, which I think is fantastic. Mm-hmm. But the king did not think so. He banishes her and then holds basically like a beauty pageant for women to compete to become the next queen. And that's when we meet Esther. Mm-hmm. Who's a Jewish orphan girl. She's been adopted by her older cousin, whose name is Mordecai. Mm-hmm. And they're this little Jewish family, and she's beautiful. And so she gets kind of mistakenly invited into this competition because as a Jewish woman, she shouldn't have been.
Sure.
So she keeps her identity a secret.
Mm-hmm.
And it wins. She is taken to the king. He loves her. And he makes her a queen, and there's a lot of both implied and also explicit, like real dark and twisty things about this story. This is a woman who's been employed for the physical pleasure of the king. Mm-hmm. This is 100% like a moment in ancient history where women are being used as objects. Mm-hmm. 150%. I don't want to ignore that fact.
Yeah. No, good. We shouldn't.
And it's hard to read for that reason.
Which, not to spoil anything, that fact alone will just show the redemption of Esther as a character. It'll make it 10 times as good.
Yeah.
Or 1,000 times as good.
It does. Yeah. And we also can be heartbroken that this has to be a part of the story for that to be the case, like the awkward tension of just telling the bad part of the story today was mm-hmm. like part of it. I mean,
yeah.
One of the things that I shared today is that for so many people who walk through our doors every Sunday, mm-hmm. that's the part of the story they're living in. Right. Not maybe right. not specifically, they're not living in a harem for a king in Persia mm-hmm. in 500 BC, but they're struggling with addiction, or sure. their loved one is struggling with addiction, mm-hmm. or they are addicted to work and they're, you know, working too hard to prove themselves worthy mm-hmm. to make enough money to, I don't know, they're struggling with their body image or the way that they look. And the struggles that we go through in life are just countless. Life is really hard. Life is really dark and messy. Our culture celebrates things that are not of God. Mm-hmm. And it's impossible for us to miss that. Mm-hmm. And so often we get roped into it or wrapped up in it. And that's a normal part of the human experience. But there is a better truth, a greater truth, and something better to celebrate. That's why we exist. That's mm-hmm. why church is church. That's why the story of Jesus has lasted this long. You know, that because it's a real truth that is worth believing in and that changes your life.
Hey, party people, I am interrupting our podcast right now to let you know how much we appreciate you and how much we appreciate all of your support. We can't do what we do without you. This podcast is an important part of our mission at Harbor in helping people find their way back to God. So if you are not already supporting Harbor and would like to be part of our mission, we would greatly appreciate if you would consider supporting us financially so that we can keep making this podcast and you can be part of the work God is doing through Harbor of Hope Church. If you want to contribute to our mission, you can give online at harborofhope.org/give. Again, that's harborofhope.org/give. Now, back to the party. Can we get a little Bible nerdy?
Yes.
This book is, I don't remember historically if it's the final narrative book or if it comes before or after Ezra and Nehemiah. I think it comes before. But
I'm looking it up as we speak.
Okay, great.
So that we don't answer that incorrectly.
Good.
Keep going.
Okay.
Keep asking your question.
Yeah. But it's just, it is a very, historically, the Israelites are in captivity.
Yeah.
They're in Persian captivity, part of their exile, which is, I think, something that is not spoken about enough, the exile.
Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther.
Oh, Esther.
Esther.
At least in the Bible, it's the last one. Yeah. So they're in captivity. Sorry, we're getting nerdy again. Ezra, Nehemiah is the people who went back to Israel.
Yeah.
Esther is the people who are still in captivity. God's
Correct.
People who are still exiled or stayed and still this Jewish people under Persian rule with no authority, and they're in this book and God is not mentioned at all.
Right.
Where's God?
He's right there with them.
Oh, great.
well, that's, I think that's part of the purpose of this book remaining in scripture. Mm-hmm. The book was written probably 100 years after the events actually occurred. So these are real. So King Xerxes, Esther, mm-hmm. these are real people that existed.
Yeah. I saw Xerxes in the movie 300. Right.
Well, yeah. So then you know it's true, right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But there are other ancient historians. Josephus is one of them mm-hmm. that account for these people. So this isn't the Bible isn't the only place where we see mm-hmm. records of these people living,
right?
And these events occurring. So we know that it's true and that it happened. How it winds up in scripture in the Bible, this collection and curated collection of books, mm-hmm. is I think that the purpose of it is to allow for there to be space within the narrative of scripture for mm-hmm. us to contemplate and pause and be reminded that mm-hmm. God is still present and working and working things for our good, even when we can't see him. When things seem so dark and we seem so far from him that we think he's not there, but he actually is. And otherwise, this book wouldn't serve any purpose in scripture.
Right.
So
we need
to have this space carved out for us like this book does.
Yeah. And I like as a literary device, I think it's fascinating because if they are exiled, if they're apart from God, if the whole point is they're apart from God, that it's not mentioned that he's there. But I love that we still see through the actions of Esther and Mordecai, and at some point in the book, when they're talking about fasting, they're talking about praying, they're still doing their Jewish rituals. They're still religious in a sense that they're doing these rituals, which implies that they're still very much connected to God and understand and know God, even though he's not mentioned.
Yeah.
So I like that as a device, he's not there, but still clearly working and still very present.
Yeah. And it opens up, this is a whole series on its own, probably, about like...
If you can hear screaming in the background right now, sorry, it's just a little noisy where we are.
Yeah, there's still people in this church. Forgive us.
Yeah. It's not us. There's no torture going on.
But I mean, this question, this age-old question, it's like the one question we ask as frequently as what is the meaning of life is, where is God in evil and in torture and genocide and tragedy and war, and where is God in all of these things, and sickness and cancer, you know, like, where is God in that? And the answer is right there. And that's infuriating and comforting at the same time.
Yes. And so we don't get an answer in these chapters. And we kind of, if you peel back the layers, you definitely see it throughout. But these two chapters, you just see power and domination. You see like people being abused and taken advantage of. And what you were talking about before, you saw Xerxes just like showing off, being like, this is how much money I have. This is how much I can celebrate. This is how much I can just prove how wealthy and powerful I am. So what does he get from that?
The king?
Yeah, the king.
So I'll give you an example from my own life
that is
a little revealing. So, but
present day Xerxes.
Present day Xerxes, that's me. I hope not. but I've got two little kids. My husband and I. Our life is a circus. It's a beautiful, lovely, joy-filled circus, but it's a circus. There's crushed up Cheerios on every surface. There are toys everywhere. We step on Legos. That's the part of life we're in right now. We can be having meltdowns and screaming and crying. And as soon as I get my son on my lap, ready, like willing to smile, I snap a picture and I post it. I post it to Instagram.
And I love seeing every time, every one of those smiles, every time you post.
And you know what feels really good? When people like it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm stressed out. My kids are screaming. My house is a mess and I'm tired. But to see people like the nice picture that I posted feels good.
Yes.
It's not a healthy gratification. I'm not saying that that fixes anything.
Right.
It doesn't. It's very shallow. But that feeling that feels good is the feeling Xerxes was looking for too. This sort of like affirmation from people that is at a very shallow level, but still like temporarily satisfies some sort of like desire of the heart.
You get some affirmation of your existence in whatever you put your affirmation in.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now every time I post pictures of my children looking happy, you all are going to be very suspicious. But please like my post because it's a cry for help.
No. Yeah, no.
I'm kidding, sort of. But I mean, we all do this, right?
Yeah,
like
we're
having a good hair day and we post. We got a great new outfit, we post. We've lost a few pounds, we post. And some of that's all like celebrating what, you know, in the sermon today we're equivalating.
Yeah.
Equivalating is not a word. Equating.
No, equating.
We're equating to the equivalating.
It's fine.
Equating to the wrong things.
Yeah.
Like the shallow affirmation of the people around us for these silly little things that we've accumulated, whether it's in beauty or wealth or like the appearance of having our lives together, is precisely why Xerxes was throwing big parties.
Sure. And not to get, and he was obviously more shallow in it, but we can get into personality types too, where you try and find your value in being good enough, being liked, being smart enough, being whatever you want to put to it.
Everyone has a thing. Everyone has a thing that they hope other people think about them.
Yeah.
And whether that is smart or popular or beautiful or unique or nice or helpful, whatever it is, We all have a thing that we hope people think about us.
Mm-hmm.
And when that becomes the driving force in our life versus the free approval
mm-hmm.
and love and companionship that we have with God, when that isn't our motivating force, mm-hmm. but it's this other thing that we hope other people think about us, then we wind up in an unhealthy place.
Which is why Xerxes needed 180 days, because one day of party wouldn't have been enough.
Yeah.
You know, 2 days wasn't enough. He had to keep going to keep proving himself, probably to himself, more than anyone else.
Like and to further the Instagram metaphor, there are people in real life that I know who will delete posts that they make if they don't have a certain number of likes. Everyone has like a number, and whether that number is like 100 or whatever, I don't think I've ever, I know that I've never gotten 100 likes on a picture before because I'm old.
Well, step up your game.
I don't know. But there are good people that I know in my life right now that delete things if they don't have a certain number. So there's like a threshold of there's a number that people think will satisfy them versus wasn't worth it.
Right.
And that, I mean, I think Xerxes would be an Instagram influencer. I do. Yeah. If he lived
today. You're probably right. Yeah.
Like not in a good way.
Like a,
like in a like debaucherous.
Right.
I don't know.
Male fitness model or something.
Male fitness model who drinks a lot of beer kind of way.
Yeah.
We just stereotyped him hard.
Yeah, we did.
Like real hard.
Well, I was wondering who would, because if his party was only for men, who would appeal to the men and probably be a little sexist as well.
That was customary for the time too. So part of the struggle in being in this moment in the story is how very connected to the time, like the Persian Empire time it is.
Right.
This is not how we do things anymore here in America habitually right now.
Sure.
Thank God.
Yes.
But
we have grown societally.
Yes. Yeah. So it's easy to read this and just think that it's like horrific. And it is horrific by the developed standards that we have for human dignity. But at the time, this is what was done.
Right.
So Esther wasn't like she was operating within a system that she understood as just reality, which is heartbreaking. And also, but also like we have to remember that as we read through this book is that this is not something that's being measured against like our current systems. This is a system that people at the time really understood, and thank God he's delivered us through seeing things that way. But there are still plenty of parts in this world that operate in this kind of way.
Yeah.
And sexual slavery and like human trafficking is very real. Right here in Boston and in Lowell, everywhere. But that sort of tension of like, I don't know, that reality is a tension. That
The Bible Project has a really good video on the Book of Esther. And one thing they were talking about was how like these people are not moral examples, not even Esther and Mordecai. They shouldn't be revered as the moral examples, which is just a great lesson in like not articulate. What's the reading version of articulate?
Literate
to being biblically literate.
Yeah,
you need to read this book the right way, not saying like do everything they did, but to recognize in the story we're seeing how God is working through them, through the evil of Xerxes, through the faithfulness of Esther and Mordecai, and through whatever situations we'll get into, that God is moving, that it's not the society or the people that are the examples we should look at, but understand in the time.
And Esther Esther is not a hero at this point in the story. And even once she is, like, she's a failure from every angle that you could look at this point in the story. She's hiding her identity. She's denying her people, the rest of the Jews, which would rub me the wrong way if I were a Jewish person
like
living
betrayal.
But she's also lying to the government in joining into this like competition. So she's not, like you said, she's not a moral example. She's not a hero.
No, she's just, by all appearances, just trying to gain power.
Just trying to gain power, which is like a tough perspective because we want to go into it thinking she's this like innocent,
well,
easy hero.
Who knows?
She's not.
Who knows if she was even trying to enter that pageant?
Because
I think she was seen.
We don't know her.
I don't remember in chapter one if she was seen by.
Yeah. I'll find her. When we get to heaven, I will find Esther.
Yeah.
And I'll ask her these questions.
Get the details. And you said it was recorded 100 years later. So
yeah,
we don't know what her motives were.
But that's also really important as we're talking about biblical literacy, mm-hmm. like reading this book in complete and total context of its purpose in mm-hmm. like the greater narrative of scripture is that this is a very true and real story, but the way that it's written and the tempo that it has mm-hmm. and the pace and the order of the way things are explained by the author. The author, we don't know who wrote this book mm-hmm. down.
Right.
Esther did not write it. Mm-hmm. This is something that was recorded maybe 100 years, mm-hmm. I think. I would have to fact check that, but like significantly after the events occurred. And the structure, I believe you will talk about this in a couple
yes.
of weeks.
Oh, I'm so excited to.
The way that it actually mm-hmm. unfolds is significant. Mm-hmm. So the author is telling a true story in a way that is like more than just a story.
Right.
It's also...
It's structured.
Yeah.
We'll get into the structure, but it's using literary devices from the time
to
set up the story and lining things up in a way to make it even more powerful.
Yeah.
And make more of a point, which is awesome.
It's super cool.
Yeah.
And it's important for us to read it that way.
No, it definitely is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Well, we've talked about a good amount today. is there anything else that you feel like you would like to address? Anything that hit the cutting room floor?
Oh, man.
We should talk about before we go.
Well, I want to remind everyone listening to pray for our global team.
Yes,
who's,
definitely.
Who's heading to El Mirador. I really appreciated Brian's words and the way that he talked about, you know, missions can be tricky because you like go on this trip and then you come back and everyone is like, what did you do? Mm-hmm. And that's a hard question, he said, because God is I think what he said almost verbatim was God's happy when they dig a latrine or, mm-hmm. you know, God is happy when they deliver babies or build a hospital, but mm-hmm. he rejoices when two people made in his image come together and celebrate the fact that they have that in common,
right.
that like the relationships between people are far more important than any of the like tasks. And so I think praying for that, praying that our team not be distracted mm-hmm. by the things that they are there to do mm-hmm. and that they feel empowered to just be fully present with the people and celebrate and love and hear stories from mm-hmm. human beings who are just living in a different place. I think that's a good prayer to pray.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this after February 2020, year of our Lord, pray that
I guess that's true.
Pray that the work has made an impact on both the people of the Dominican and the people who went on the trip and experienced new
culture. Hopefully there are more teams preparing to go.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
I mean, in terms of like final thoughts, I would just offer a word of encouragement to people who are in a messy or dark part of their story mm-hmm. to say that God is still there with you, and that's both frustrating and comforting, and mm-hmm. that is how it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. He's just waiting for you to turn towards him mm-hmm. and ask him what's next.
Great.
And we'll get to that next week in chapter 3.
Hoo-ha.
Hoo-ha.
Come back next week.
Yeah. Yep. It gets better. Yeah. I promise. Great.
Well, see you later.
See you later. Bye. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining the After Party. You can follow our sermon series online at harborofhope.org, and you can party with us again next week wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you're in the area, please visit us at Harbor of Hope Christian Church on Sundays at 9:30 or 11. Party on.